Welcome to Passionate and Practical, the art of dreaming, doing, and serving. I'm your host, Lexi, and today my guest is Alexa from Grace and Cherish. My actual name is Alexa. So when everyone is talking to their little robots in their house, I'm like, wait, what? And so I'm sure you're in the same world. So Alexa, welcome to Passionate and Practical. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And I'm with you with the whole robots and staring. But little kids know our name really well now because they're used to yelling it.
Yes. Alexa. Yes. Yeah. Alexa, turn on the TV. Excuse me, why are you talking to me like that? So tell us a little bit about you and a little bit about Grace and Cherish. I just can't wait to dive in.
Oh, yes. Okay. So my name's Alexa Mason. I grew up in Illinois. So I grew up in the Midwest, but my husband and I, when we got married, moved out to Portland, Oregon. So I feel like I grew up there, like my second wave of growing up. So we love it, love being outdoors. We had both of our kids, or our first two kids there. We're expecting our third. But we recently moved back to Ohio about a year and a half ago. So we are figuring out life, transitioning, new life, new community. It's been really interesting to kind of walk through that, which is really how Grace and Cherish got started, because we had a very close-knit community in Portland that we just loved so much and still love so much. And they're really a strong support to us, even as we've been away for the last year and a half. But while we're here in Ohio, we're just trying to figure out what we're doing. So we've been really, we love being involved in church. We love getting to do, you know, everything from doing things outdoors, but then getting to serve together and figuring out what that looks like when you have a 4 and a 2-year-old. So, you know, just trying to navigate life. But it's been a fun ride so far.
So why are you passionate about hospitality?
Well, so moving to Ohio, we ended up having this opportunity to build a house in a new neighborhood. And one of the things, so my husband's white, I'm black, and we have biracial children. And so we really wanted to make sure that when we moved to a place where there was representation for them. I grew up in a community where there wasn't as much representation of African Americans, really. I ended up going to a church where I got more of that, and then other people groups too. So I got to see a lot more people who were Indian, people who were Mexican. And so it was beautiful at the church. I felt like I got a really great global picture. But when it came back to my everyday life, seeing people who look like me, it just was harder outside of my family. My dad is African American and my mom is white. I'm actually adopted, but they have 6 kids who are biological to them. So I grew up in a interracial family. And so I got to see representation there, but everywhere else it was kind of, it just wasn't really there. So when my husband and I moved here, and he didn't grow up around much of any type of diversity outside of some people within the Asian community where he was from. So he really wanted to dive in more, especially having a family that is African American too. So when we found out about this neighborhood or this new development, it was in a neighborhood that is predominantly African American. And we thought, what a neat opportunity to build a home and to have our neighbors around us be doctors and insurance salesmen and teachers and police officers and all of these different things. But there, and majority of them are African American. And we just thought that would be neat for our kids to grow up and see something that was different from even what we saw. And so that was one of the things that started like the really kicking off of some of what I think about when it comes to hospitality. It's like not just thinking about what's inside your home. It's what I talk about a lot. It's not just what's inside your home, but also you going out and being intentional. And I think we can be hospitable even in how we choose where it is that we live. How do we choose our communities? How do we choose the neighborhoods? Are we thinking about more than just the best school and the amenities? And that's hard to do, but that was something that we felt like we would serve our family and our kids, especially by doing that. So hospitality for me, it really even started back then, like choosing to get this house, figuring out the neighborhood. And then once we started the process of building, I became obsessed with studying interior design. So I was on Instagram looking at all the designers and DIYers. I was reading blogs. I was getting books from the library. I just was having a lot of fun figuring out just different aspects of design that I didn't know I cared about until we were in the situation. And one thing I noticed as I was doing all my research is that so many people would use the word hospitality with entertainment as though they were synonymous. Mm. And that bothered me because I was like, hospitality is not entertainment. Because the first time I'd ever learned about hospitality was actually in the Bible. And I wouldn't even say I fully understood everything about it, but it was always I always had a biblical connection. So when I heard entertainment, I'm like, this doesn't make sense. It can't be about entertainment. Because entertainment's really ultimately about you. Like there's a grade there. But hospitality is actually supposed to be about something else. Mm-hmm. And as I kept reading the word, what came to me as I was reading God's word and I'm trying to understand like what is your heart in terms of how we serve one another, how we're serving you. And the word that just came to mind is that serving. It's like hospitality is serving. It is about relationship. And that's where the focus should be. So for me, studying all of the interior design stuff really led to diving in deeper into what does it mean to be hospitable and what is God's heart towards this as far as I can understand it from what I read in the word. So that was really for me a lot of what led to exploring this different way of looking at what hospitality is.
I absolutely love that. And I recently heard this quote that it's either a tool or a toy. And for you, having a beautiful, beautiful home, God's really blessed your family with this gorgeous home. And so I think that our flesh can often say, like, how do we make it perfect? And then we point it back to us. But if we say, God, this is your tool for generosity and hospitality for generations to come, and whatever people that walk through our doors, just allow them to feel your presence, Lord. That is just so powerful. And so then it takes away the guilt of, sometimes I think that we have two worlds in the Christian world. We have this poverty gospel that says, if you're a believer, you should have nothing. You should drive a crap car. You should have a crap home, blah, blah, blah. And then there's this prosperity gospel side that says you should have all things because God is the God of blessings and abundance. And here we go. Let's buy all the things. And those are God's heart for us. And the cool thing is that it's not prescriptive because God gives us his son and we look to him, but the Holy Spirit is really what guides us through and navigates us through what our heart is. 'Cause he doesn't care about the checklist, right? Like if we had a Bible that said you're as a family of, five, you're only allowed to have a 2000 square foot home. And then we would check those boxes because as people are, we are so in our head about these things, but God says, lean into my spirit. And so some people, it looks like having a 900 square foot home and still extending hospitality. And for some people, it might look like having a 6,000 square foot home and extending hospitality, but it's really about opening the doors. And so I love that you've intentionally stepped into a space where you've built a gorgeous home. But your heart is not like, hey, look at me. This home is so beautiful, but you have, spent time intentionally designing your space to be a space where others can experience it. And so I just love your heart and I'm so thankful, for someone that is just so in tune with God's heart for hospitality. So tell us a little bit more about Grace and Cherish and what that is and how people can find you.
Yeah, so Grace and Cherish, it was born out of a really difficult time. It started, before we moved from Portland officially. It actually started because my wedding ring was stolen.
And, oh, goodness.
Yeah, long story short, wedding ring was stolen. We discovered that we actually didn't put it under the red insurance. So it was under our home insurance, but it wasn't insured separately. So then the insurance money you get for it wasn't going to cover the ring. And it wasn't like it was a crazy, huge thing, but it was enough to where I was like, well, I don't really feel like we don't need to spend money on it. So I ended up saying, how about we just buy a fake ring and then I'll use the other money to invest in something that I can have for a long time. So I decided to get a sewing machine. I don't know how to sew, but I was like, I want to learn. I'll pass this down to kids and grandkids one day. I don't know. So I got a sewing machine and I found that as I was trying to learn how to do different things, practicing on like table napkins or pillows, because those are all easy, like straight stitch kind of thing. So I was ended up starting to draw out patterns, like different design ideas and all of this stuff. And I was like, you're really interested in this, but I didn't know where to go from there. And then when we moved to Cincinnati, I ended up, like, I had all these drawings, all these ideas, and I realized that I was like, maybe it's like wall art prints. Maybe that's where you should start. So I ended up exploring that idea a little bit more. And so I'd say that's, in many ways, how Grace and Cherish was born. It was just, there were these messages and these things I felt like I was learning from the Lord, especially after we moved. And it was so difficult. The transition, the grief, it was more intense than many things I've experienced in life. And I've had a lot of different things that to me should have been way worse. My experience should have been way worse than moving across the country. But yet for some reason, it was just, excuse me, it was really painful. And so studying interior design was one thing that gave life. And then working on Grace and Cherish was the other thing. And so I started making these prints and trying to explore, but that's not my background. I studied journalism. I worked in PR. So like creating wall art was not my area of expertise. So I was really trying to learn and understand how to do it well. And with the art, one thing that I also noticed about, you know, different items as I was looking at decor people had put in their homes, one of the things I felt very strongly about was, again, how can I serve people with this art by providing them something that's beautiful, but also has depth to it? And what's the meaning behind it? And so that's where I started to think, well, what if you create wall art prints that also have what I call a guide that shares the message behind the print, you know, what the Lord had been teaching me, and have scripture and questions that go with it. So every print has a guide that goes with it, and it's free. I mean, someone could go online now and get it if they wanted. They don't have to buy prints at all, because the point was just to share, I love God's word, I'm appreciative of what he's teaching me, and I want to share it with other people. And wow. So that for me was how Grace and Cherish really started. It was, okay, how can I create something that is both beautiful and has depth? And so when someone looks at it in their home, they're not just looking at like, oh, this pretty little thing, but it's something where they can say, oh, and the story behind it, and here's some scriptures that came to mind when this was being created. That was my heart for that. And then it kind of expanded into, how can I chronicle the journey of us creating our home and kind of sharing some of the thoughts and the questions we're asking ourselves, from how do we choose the community we're in to what do we think about when we're picking seating? You know, it's fun to pick out. I enjoy picking out couches and looking at what we can put in the rugs and the texture and the baskets and all of that. But I also didn't want to lose the heart of, okay, who are we inviting? Am I praying through, Lord, fill these seats with people that are not like us at all, people that we might have never expected to be in our home, but we're inviting in people from our church, people from our community, our neighborhood, people from our kids' future schools. They weren't in school at the time that we moved. You know, we want this to be a place where your name is honored. So what does that look like? And so really just including that, it's like, yes, the design stuff is fun, but let's not forget, how can we be praying for this space and asking for the Lord's presence to be there and kind of dedicating these rooms to him? So from the kitchen to the living room, to the basement, I mean, even at the bathroom, I'm trying to think, how can you make this a place of welcome and something when people are here? Because we want our home to be a place where God's presence is known. So with our website, I have a blog where I share a little bit about that and that process of just creating our home. And then I am doing a podcast, but it's been down for a bit now. But in that podcast, it was exploring hospitality even more so. And so I have a few friends I've been connecting with to kind of explore the conversation of what does it look like to have hospitality in your everyday life. So from anything from hospitality and manhood, and there's a friend of mine that we're going to talk about, what does it look like for you to use your manhood to serve others? A friend who's a jazz musician and often the only Christian within her community, it's what does it look like to serve your community of other musicians around you and be in that industry? How do you show hospitality as one of the few Christians in the room? And so there are a couple other area is a friend who loves theology. It's how are we hospitable in that? You know, not necessarily the theology of hospitality, but rather how can I be hospitable? How can I serve as I'm engaging with theology? Because it's so easy, like you mentioned, two camps. It's easy to be polarizing with our views. How do we explore theology, but do it in a way that is loving and caring and serving the greater body? So those are some of the conversations in the podcast I want to have, just to again explore what does hospitality look like in all aspects of life.
I love that. And I love that you were willing to be bold enough and courageous enough to buy that first sewing machine, right? Because I think that for us, for women especially, like we just sometimes it's just that first step of obedience, and it's a step and it's a leap of faith. And so we don't know what God's going to do with it, but I'm reading Women in the Word right now, and or Women of the Word, and it talks about how we as humans find pleasure in the things that we're learning about. And so it's relating to obviously scripture, but it talks about when you're dating, you're learning your spouse, and that's why there's this spark. And so for you with that sewing machine, there's a spark because it's new and you're learning it. So it's not necessary. We don't necessarily find pleasure in the things that we're innately good at. We can if we continue to learn about them. But I love that you were willing to take that step to learn, and then it blossomed into something that you're like, wow, I have a gift for this. And then I can, and I love the thought of your prints just jumping off the wall and in a space of just speaking truth over people's lives in their homes, and that it's not just the words on the page, but there's this story of how those words got there and how the print got there. And so I just love, love, love your heart for hospitality and your heart for art and your heart for design. It's just amazing. I wish that we lived closer. We would be best buds. You don't have a choice. I'm just telling you.
I'm coming over.
And so, as we're kind of in this the holidays, there's a lot of hosting going on, whether we're being hosted or we're hosting others. Some people do Friendsgiving, some people do, Christmas with the in-laws, like all of these things in between. How do we keep our eyes focused on Jesus in the season of hustle and bustle?
Yeah, I think that is such a great question. And I laughed because I was thinking about it. I recently spoke to a MOPS group that mothers of preschoolers.
Yeah, a minute, girl. I love it.
Yeah, so I got to speak at one in my hometown last week. And as I was preparing for it, this is one of the conversations we're going to have. And I had been thinking about it weeks before that, but I also laughed because I'm like, well, you're having a baby in December. So hustle and bustle is real to you. But when I was thinking about it, what really instilled in my heart, I had a passion to really, I want people to have a sense of peace as we go into these things, like have a sense of peace. And I realized, you know, when I think about hospitality and some of the reasons why peace seems to kind of go away is because we don't stick with some of the things that are necessary to do hospitality well. And so with this group I shared, and I'll share here, four things that came to mind, and I wouldn't say that this is an exhaustive list, but they were just four things that were put on my heart, were that with hospitality, and especially in this busy season, prayer, rest, gratitude, and obedience are absolutely necessary.
Wow.
And you do that all the time, but I feel prayer, rest, gratitude, and obedience really help shape your heart to be able to hold on to the peace of Christ as you go into the busy season. And it's not even, there's busyness, but there's also a sense of, I mean, if there's loss that has been occurred, dealing with that around this season, stress, if there's family or even friendships that were, there's anxiety, just relationship. There's so much that can be embedded in addition to the joy and the delight and the fun of it. So being sensitive to all of those things, I feel like regardless of where you are, if you are in prayer with the Lord, if you are seeking Him, if you're someone who wants to host and you're doing a lot and you feel like you're being overtaxed, I encourage people to say, hey, are you praying? Are you asking the Lord what you should be in or what you should not be in? Are you letting Him guide where it is that you go and how it is that you're serving? Because maybe what you feel like you need to do, or on the other hand, what you don't think you need to do at all, maybe He has something else to say for you. But our God, if you ask Him, hey, can you show me my limits? He's going to let you see them. I mean, giving us 24 hours in a day, every human being, we all have that. Even that is a limit. He's allowed for us to give us, to help us to see we need to stop, that it's not mm-hmm. our job to do everything. But we are called at different times to do something. And so really being in prayer and submitting ourselves to him, I think that that sets the tone then for how we engage in the rest of our life, especially within hospitality. Rest to me is the other one. It's in the season of busyness, you have to prioritize rest. We can't give from an empty well. And I think especially as moms, we experience this a lot. And sometimes you are pushed to your limits, not sometimes, often, that's the case. And so there is that reality, but it's prioritizing rest. What does it look like? And I'm even asking that as we're having a newborn. And I know, yeah, I'm likely going to be doing something every 2 to 3 hours. I'm going to be having to do this. Plus I have 2 toddlers, but that does not mean that I cannot prioritize rest, that I can't trust God for rest. And so what does it look like? And I realized the stretch is more for me to trust than it is for God to provide. And so that's something I think in the busyness of the season, we have to think, how am I prioritizing rest? And what does rest look like for me? But do I make sure that that's a priority as an act of worship to God? And as I do that, it enables me so much more to serve other people in the midst of seasons where things might be busier than normal. So that's the other thing. Gratitude is one that I was laughing at when I was going through the word and doing like, let's look at where thanks or gratitude is in the Bible. And you just see it everywhere. Gratitude, giving thanks. We are called to do it so often. The Psalms are filled with it. And then you look at 1 Chronicles. I was laughing. I'm like, 1 Chronicles 16, who's thanks, give thanks. And then you're in 1 Thessalonians, give thanks. Like everywhere, there's this call to us to be grateful. And I find that when you have that grateful attitude, when you're trying to serve and you might be maxed out a bit more, when you go back to that place of gratitude, I feel like it gives you so much more strength to continue to pour yourself out to others, whether it be your immediate family or people around you, whatever that looks like. And then the last one being obedience, starting with prayer, taking rest, having an attitude of gratitude. I think all of that leads into being willing then to obey. And there are times where you're going to feel like you're stretched more than you think you can handle. But when you're willing, you get to see God provide in such ways that you just couldn't imagine. But I also think it allows you to be able to step back in confidence and obey God to rest, or obey God to, hey, I don't need to be in control of this. And that's important. I think that's such a key thing to us as believers. It's not us getting everything right, but right. If we have a heart to obey, he honors that. And I fail with that stuff all the time, but my prayer is, Lord, help me to just obey as best as I can today. And I think that simple prayer is something that really brings such delight to him, to know his children just want to obey him. And imagine if our kids said that to us every morning.
Absolutely.
Obey, Mom.
Absolutely. So I want to just take a moment to just actually pause and pray for the women that are listening to this. Would you mind just leading us in prayer for the women that are entering into this season of craziness and just claiming truth and claiming rest and peace and prayer and gratitude and obedience over this next season?
Yes, absolutely. All right. Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you that we get to come before you. What a gift it is to know that the God who has created all things also inclines his ear to even the least of all of us. Lord, you are delighted to be with your people. And so I pray that in this season, especially when there is so much craziness of the busy and the hurry and all of that, Lord, I pray for the people listening today that they have special moments of encounters with you, that they know your grace, that they don't feel like they have to do everything and be everything, that failure and the fears of it, that isn't on their mind, but instead, Lord, that they just delight in getting to be with you in this time. Lord, I pray against any of the lies that we have to do and keep going and hustle and all of that all the time. But instead, Lord, I pray that people this season just have an overwhelming sense of rest in you. And that allows them to see this season differently and to experience it differently, whether with family or with friends. Lord, I just thank you. I'm imagining them, the women and the people listening. And I just, I pray that even in this moment that your hand is over them, that they have just an extra supernatural sense of your presence with them, telling them how delighted you are in them, how glad you are that they are your daughters. Oh, Lord, I pray for each person that listens. And I just pray that this season, above all else, that they know the great, deep, and rich love that you have for them. And may they then take that and pour it out onto those around them with joy. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your son, Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Sorry, I put you on the spot there. I felt prompted in my spirit to just invite you to pray, because I think that we can often talk about these things, but sometimes we just have to stop and pray. And I just think that prayer is going to bless the people that are listening. And I just pray that if you are listening, that you would just, even if you need to rewind and listen to that, just that part again and again and again, just to sing praises to God and just to pray that he would lead you in this season. We as believers need to look radically different than the world in this time. And that doesn't necessarily mean that we don't do Santa. And if you don't, that's fine. But it doesn't necessarily mean the legalistic ways of removing the world from our holiday season, but instead the attitude that we have when we interact with the world this holiday season. And that means with family that are not believers, that means family that are believers, but do some pretty wonky things, and having grace for them. And, I thank you so much for that prayer. And, as we kind of close out, is there just maybe a one challenge or a practical, a tip for somebody how do you encourage them just to take that, maybe that next step towards obedience, in this season of hospitality and in the holidays?
I think it's great. My one tip, I would say really it's what you just did. I think it's really a gift that you stopped and prayed, and that it seems like it shouldn't be that surprising, like, oh, she just had to stop and pray, but because that's what we should do, I think, more often. And I'm grateful you did. And that would be my tip. More and more the Lord continues to help me to see the power of praying and how it should be the first thing, how it is the greatest weapon we have. And though he might ask us to continue to do other things through action, whatever that may be, that prayer is really a place to start, because that's the prayer we get to meet him. And so when you think about, you need to change something, you want to talk to a friend, you need advice, you know, I'm all for therapy and things like that. And I feel like we should always be starting with, Lord, here I am. And let that be in that, and trusting him to really fill in the rest. And if there are other questions you have or needing to know, how do I navigate the situation or that, he is so faithful to respond and to help us in our time of need, especially. And that's something that I really would encourage people to say, is trust him enough to pray first and see where he leads you and everything else that you might have.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much, Alexa. And ladies, you are infinitely valuable. You are created with a unique set of gifts, skills, and talents created by our God for his purpose and his glory. So go and be his hands and feet to this broken world. Get it, girl. For taking the time out of your day. If this message has encouraged you, then please click to subscribe and share with a friend who may be inspired by the message. Also, if you have an event coming up and you're looking for a speaker, click the link below to get in touch with me.